Titus 3 and verse 4. But when the kindness and love to man of our Saviour God appeared, not on the principle of works which had been done in righteousness which we had done, but according to his own mercy, he saved us. So on. To some this morning, the Father of my own unbounded love has reached us through thy Son, reached us. That suggests that we were afar off. We are far off as sinners. But we're here tonight to tell you that God's love has found a way for you to avoid his judgment. Isn't that wonderful? How far away am I as a sinner? We also sung this morning that thou dost measure then sin's distance. Darkness, wrath, and curse of thine. You know, every step of the way that you and I as sinners were away from God was covered at Calvary's cross. We have to start where you are in the glad tidings. I mean, the Lord Jesus took up people where they were in their need, whether they realized the need or not. But we start with everybody here being a sinner. And if you don't consider yourself a sinner, what I'm going to say tonight doesn't apply to you. Because if you're not a sinner, there's no Savior for you. Because my Savior is a Savior of sinners. And you cannot avail yourself of my Saviour unless you accept that you are a sinner. Now the Bible tells you that you're a sinner. It tells me that everybody here is a sinner, because all have sinned according to Romans and come short of the glory of God. Christ was the only one who never came short of the glory of God. We don't match up. We fail to match up. People don't like to fail, you know. We live in a world where success is everything. And failure is nothing. There's no point in coming second. Well, I can tell you that as a sinner, you're a failure in the sight of God. The distance that came in the garden, you know. How simple it seemed to be for Satan to deceive Eve. How simple a test, you know. It wasn't that the tree, the knowledge of the tree of good and evil was something magical. It was a test of obedience. Would man obey God or not? And he failed the simple test. He failed. And distance came in, you know. And man was driven out of the garden because God can't have sin in his presence. And the flame of the flashing sword was set there to guard the way to the tree of life. The awful thought that man, according to flesh and according to sin, would ever manage to partake of the tree of life. But you know, the way to the tree of life has been opened up by my Saviour. The sword went through the soul of my Saviour to open up the way to the tree of life. So you can come tonight as a ruined sinner and accept what Christ has done and come into the most wonderful blessing that God has in mind for you. Isn't that marvelous? Where art thou? That was the question that God asked. Where are you? Man was lost. That's where he was. He was lost. What has God done? Man is guilty. Lost and guilty. Hopeless. Why didn't God sweep the scene in judgment? He would have been entitled to. Because of his great love, wherewith he loved us, God wanted his creature for himself. He wants you for himself. He hasn't given you up. He's provided a way back for you. You know, Adam and Eve came into the knowledge of good and evil through disobeying God and aware of their exposure. They sewed red fig leaves together to cover themselves. I wonder what you're using tonight to cover yourself. You know. You may find, like in Isaiah, that the covering is too short and the bed is too narrow. What you're relying upon. If it's not Christ, he'll fail you. People think, I'll take my chance. I'm no worse than the next person. Don't be fooled. Dear sinner, don't be fooled. God is providing you with a way of salvation tonight through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says God provided them with coats of skin and clothed them. That is, that what man provided was not to do for God. It's only what he provided that was to cover man, you know. Somebody had to die to provide that covering. As soon as the reign of sin began, the light of mercy dawned on man. Well, you couldn't have appreciated how God felt about you until Christ came. Think of God's love there for his creature, for Adam, for Eve. Think of God's love for them. No way of expressing that love. Even David, he could appreciate the love, the kindness of God, the loving kindness of God. He could appreciate the bounty of God. But he couldn't appreciate how God felt about him, his love. And neither could you and I until Christ came. That's why he came, to tell out God's love to man, the kindness and love to man of a Saviour God. Think of God waiting for 4,000 years to bring Christ on, you know, and all the time testing man, testing him in every department. Tested him in innocency. Tested him in responsibility. Tested him under government. Tested him under law. Tested him under grace. And man failed every time. The fullness of the time was come. God brought forth his Son. Was it any afterthought? Not a bit of it. Not a bit of it. If you want proof, Daniel speaks about 69 weeks. 69 weeks of 7 years, 483 years, to the very day from Artaxerxes ordered the rebuilding of Jerusalem to the entering of the Lord Jesus into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry. 483 years exactly. There's no afterthought to the coming in of Christ. Apart from Christ's coming, we would never have known God's love. We would never have known how God felt about us. But you know, that scripture in John 3 and 16 has got the whole gospel in it. No wonder many have been saved through that precious verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. That is, that if you don't have Christ in your life, you're perishing. It's not that you will be lost, you are lost. Doing nothing is not an option. You will end in a Christless eternity. You will end in hell if you continue the way you are. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have life eternal. Isn't that wonderful? That's the heart of God out towards the creature. You know, and that heart love extends to thee tonight. God has intervened. I love that. But God. The whole course of things in this world changed with the incoming of Jesus. Because of his great love, wherewith he loved us. Place the Savior within the reach of every man, woman, and child in the universe. Not Bartimaeus. We're in Bartimaeus this morning. What an example of someone who wasn't going to miss his chance. You know, Jesus is passing by. He's passing by tonight in Belfast. He's available. Think of the Lord going to Jericho. I don't know why. A lot of the priests live in Jericho. I don't know why that's the case. That's where they live. The man on the Jericho road was passed by the priest and the Levite. They were going back and forward up to Jerusalem. But the Lord Jesus in grace went there and met Bartimaeus. Son of David, have mercy on me. Where was the Lord going? He was going to Jerusalem. He was going to Calvary. But he stood still. The creator of the universe stood still at the cry of a blind beggar. We'll stand still tonight if anyone in this room would but cry out in mercy. Have mercy on you. What can you claim? What can you claim as a sinner? Nothing. You come and own your needs. Jesus, take me as I am. You go. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus commanded him to be brought. What wilt thou that I will do to thee? Lord, that I may see. That you would see your need of Jesus tonight. That you would see your need of a Saviour. You could go down that street and to the first person you meet, you could tell them that they need the Saviour. That's the truth, you know. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody. Bartimaeus seized his chance. This may be your last opportunity tonight. Maybe the last. And you say, I've been at a few gospel preachings, I've got probably come next week. Maybe you won't get the opportunity. Maybe this is it. Maybe your answer tonight, which will be recorded in heaven. Remember that. Your response to the glad tidings will be recorded in heaven tonight. And it may be that your answer tonight will be taken as your last answer. Solemn, isn't it? And you say, why would that be? You know, death comes in. You don't have to be old to die. Death is an arrest. And you are the final assizes. There's no more opportunity. Tonight, a well-accepted time. It's a day of salvation. The Saviour is available now. I can't speak about quarter of an hour, 5 minutes. I can't speak about it. The Lord Jesus is coming back. Will you be there? When the roll was called up yonder, will you be there? You know, persons will recall in hell that they had an opportunity. Lord, Lord, open to us. I never knew you. You may assume something. You may assume that you know God. You may think there's another way to get to God. You know, people want to make peace with God. You can't. Make peace with God. My Saviour made peace by the blood of his cross. That's the only way that peace can be made. And the only way that you can come into it is through accepting what Christ has done. You know, Paul speaks earlier here about another thing that appeared, and that was the grace of God. The grace of God, which carries with it salvation. I love that. Carries with it salvation, bringing it to where it's needed tonight. Think of the Lord in manhood, bringing help to where it was needed, bringing it to Psychus Well, to a woman who was desperately in need. I love to think of my Savior here, sitting at that well, waiting with that woman coming out of Samaria. Isn't that wonderful? Just waiting for her. And she comes out with such a need in her heart that he was able to fulfill. He was able to answer. You know, the grace of God carried with it salvation, carried it to Jericho, carried it to the borders of Tyre and Sidon, carried it to Jerusalem. It's carrying it to Belfast tonight. The grace of God is flowing over the barren place where Jesus died. Think of it. It's going out the gospel to whosoever will. There are no exceptions. I love that. That's the heart of God tonight in the glad tidings. Think of these feet, you know, that carried the Lord all the way to Calvary. Think of the closing scenes of anguish that we sang of this morning. To ourselves, that to our hearts, thyself in thee. How fitting. Closing scenes of the Lord's life are for every believer. You know, you're affected by the sufferings of Christ. They were occasioned on your behalf, my friend and mine. The only one who had a right to live gave it up for me. You and I have surrendered a right to live here. We don't have a right to live. The soul that sinned, it shall die. My Savior was the only one who had a right to live, and he gave it up for me. Sufferings at the hands of man were dreadful. What a study. Why did the Father allow it? I think it was a lie to demonstrate his love. So why it was a lie? Yeah. Man's heart exposed for a low point in the history of man when the Lord was taken and given a mockery of a trial and scourged and made a fool of the Creator of the world. And yet God's heart told out in his fullness. Oh, the cross of Christ's blood. There I am. God's heart to me. These feet that have carried the Lord on so many errands of mercy were nailed to a cross. These hands that had blessed so many were nailed to a cross, and he was lifted up to die. But these hands could do no more, and these feet could do no more. He said, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Pray for them." That prayer has been answered in my case. It's been answered in the case of millions. It'll be answered tonight through many coming to Christ. Dear friend, are you going to be among them? Are you going to surrender to Christ tonight? Could you say, "His blood availed for me"? Have you come under the cleansing power of the blood of Christ? Naught can take away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood of a sinless victim, you know. He held nothing back in view of securing my salvation. Nothing. Born on his heart through this baptism. Over what Jesus suffered. In order that we might understand the love of God. That there might be a way back for us. That we might know what it is to have eternal life. That we who were so far away, who have been brought back by the blood of Christ. You know, top churchmen are now seeing, in order to bring churches together, that even unbelievers can come into the kingdom of God. Have you ever heard anything like it? That unbelievers are included in the kingdom of God. What does the Lord say? I am the door. No one can enter except by me. There is no other way of salvation. Dear friend, if you refuse what God is offering in Christ tonight, judgment awaits you. Let it be absolutely clear. And judgment is coming very soon. We're at the end of times. The very end. Christ is coming back. He's no longer here. He went into death. He was raised by the glory of the Father because death had no power over him. He's a living, glorious Saviour. That's a cardinal point in the glad tidings. If Christ is not raised, you're still in your sins. How could anybody deny the resurrection of Christ? He's in the glory. There's a man in heaven tonight. Oh, the sight in heaven is glorious. There's never been a man in heaven before. Think of that. He's gone back as a man. Glorious, living man. And he's coming again. Coming for his own. Oh, who love him. Oh, who trusted him. To take them to be with himself. The rapture. And then a few years after. 7 years after. He's coming. With the saints. To take up the reins in government. These things are absolute certainties. The Lord is coming again. Will you hear his cry, you know? The dead in Christ will hear his cry. The power of the voice of the Son of God will open the graves of those who trusted Christ. Isn't that marvelous? Every one will be opened, raised to be with Christ. What a hope, you know. But there's another resurrection. The second resurrection. You know, such is my Saviour's victory over death, that not one person from Adam onward who has died will remain in death. Christ's victory over death is complete. And every single person will be brought out of death. It doesn't matter if their ashes are scattered over the North Sea. It's no matter for God. Every person will be brought out of death. The great white throne, you know. John saw the dead, great and small, lined up before Christ. The one who's offered tonight is a Saviour. There is a judge. Remember a story about that? I'm sure you've heard it. I'll tell you again. There's two friends. Their lives drew apart. One of them led a dissolute life, and the other became a judge. And one day, his friend was brought up before him on a charge. They stood before the judge, and there was an appeal made to the judge to show mercy because of the man's condition. And the judge said, the rule of law has to be upheld. $60 fine or 60 days in jail. And he took off his robes and went down and paid the $60 at the bar. That's what Jesus has done. That's what Jesus has done. And the one who's offered as a Saviour tonight will one day be the judge.
the pilot will stand before Christ. So will you, if you don't know him as a saviour. There'll be no voice raised in defence. There'll be no advocate. There'll be no solicitor. Everybody there at the great white throne will know why they're there. But God is entirely justified. God forbid that anyone who's under the sound of the glad tidings tonight should find himself in such a place. The Saviour is available. God's love, God's heart is out towards his creature tonight in blessing. Come through faith and repentance, like the thief on the cross, you know, what a trophy of grace. We indeed justly, for we receive the just recompense of what we have done, faith, repentance towards God. But this man has done nothing amiss. Faith in Christ, he was saved. For time and for eternity. What a trophy of grace. May you come tonight through faith and repentance to trust in Jesus for his name's sake.
Amen.